The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's leading property investor podcast. On this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in South Africa's dynamic real estate sector. This is a special episode as it's a vodcast as well. Now, we have had a vodcast before, but we might be more regular going forward, testing the markets as it were. So watch this space. MoneyWeb is on the up and we have bigger plans for 2026. On this week's podcast, we have a big name guest, but a familiar face in SA's listed property sector. He's the CEO of Growthpoint Properties in South Africa, but he's also the incoming group CEO of Growthpoint when Norbert Sasser retires at the end of June, I believe. You may have guessed it. My guest is Estienne de Klerk, who has been a leader in South Africa's property sector for over two decades. It might be pushing on to three decades. Estienne can correct me. But welcome to the Property Pod, Estienne. You've, as I said, been around for a number of years, but you've also played a leadership role at the SA REIT Association. You're the current chair. The last time we spoke was back in 2024 in February. So a lot has changed. The market is doing much better.
Hi, Suren, thank you very much for the opportunity, and yes, all the best for 2026, man.
Estienne, we have chatted before, but since it's the beginning of the year, where would you like to start? Do you want to talk about leadership or performance?
Yeah, so look, I mean, I think the sector has been blessed with a wonderful 6 months where we've seen, you know, the sector grow in share price performance of over 30%, I think is the sort of number that's been touted out by some of the analysts. And I think the property sector over the years has done a lot to, fundamentally improve growth. A lot of this upside, you know, has to go. The credit has to go to the bond market. So it boils down to, you know, some of the things happening in the macro of South Africa, and the improvement in the bond market certainly has driven the real estate share prices quite a bit. So I think certainly if you look at SA REIT and its members over the dark period of COVID and in the past 5 years, we faced many, many, many challenges that we have successfully survived. And in that time, you know, the sector has done a lot of work to become more transparent, to ensure better reporting to investors. We have, you know, best practice recommendations from SA REIT for listed REITs to really ensure that they have consistent, clear reporting to investors. And I think, you know, if you add all these things together with the improvement in fundamentals and the strengthening in the bond market, you know, that is resulting in a significantly improved investor market in respect of real estate. So I think that, you know, those things are factors that have all driven the strong market that we've seen in the past 6 months. I mean, looking forward, you may find interest rates still will come under, pressure and reduce further. If you think about the improvements that certainly I would foresee is if the rand has strengthened, that immediately has an impact on our fuel prices. And as fuel prices come down, that will result in lower inflation through the economy. The economy has slowly but surely sort of lifted its head. Still remains a challenge for many of the REITs is the slow South African economic growth. But it does seem as if things have improved there. And many of the initiatives that Business South Africa have implemented together with the President's office, you know, I feel Business has had more involvement in government matters, and some of those things are proving to to be actually delivering some good growth in the economy. So the improvement in electricity is just one of those examples. We have insight into the initiatives at Transnet, and these are very key important factors for our country, and they will drive economic growth over the long term. So if we can improve going forward, certainly municipal services, that is probably the biggest single factor that's impacting the real estate sector and is a key risk in our world. And I believe that there are initiatives that we are looking to help some of these municipalities, especially the big metros, in the management of their initiatives and their service delivery and planning. So those will ultimately, over a couple of years, also start delivering good value. So looking at the South African real estate sector, I think it will be lifting its head. And as the economy grows, we should see improvement in the fundamentals.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there, because I was going to turn to my next question. Gave a nice broad outline there, Estian. Is South Africa turning the corner? That was the question I was going to ask, because during results, for a number of years now, you said, the real estate sector will really grow once the economy grows by at least 1 or 2%. Obviously, we'd like higher considering unemployment. But are you a bit more optimistic? Last year was a knockout year for the real estate sector from a share price and total return perspective. But, you highlighted some things that the business leadership South Africa have been highlighting more recently, that things seem to be on the up, barring, of course, global geopolitical issues, which maybe we should focus more on our local issues, like municipal service delivery.
So, Surin, I mean, the reality is, South Africa fits into the global economy. We can't ignore what is happening abroad. But from an investment perspective in the real estate space, actually, South Africa is printing pretty well at the moment. Fundamentally, if you're in an environment where interest rates are coming down, that is certainly a good component that we look at, and it's an important factor in our business. Most real estate companies will see improvement in the economy where interest rates come down. There will be hopefully improvement in retail sales, and from a balance sheet and a cost of capital perspective, it gives us the ability to make deals work. So if you if you think about real estate and moving to the development side, which is really the part that we as South Africans should be encouraging, and that's the growth in our cities through development, those deals are very difficult to make work if your cost of capital is very, very high. So ultimately, it starts at what can a tenant afford to pay, right? And then the other side of the coin is, what does it cost to provide that product, right? So if we're building anything from a hospital right through to a office or industrial warehouse, or even a hotel, student accommodation, ultimately, these deals only work if it is affordable for those that are ultimately paying the rent and using that service. So if your cost of capital is very high, it means that, let's say you're building a warehouse, it means that the rental that you're ultimately charging the tenant, who's a logistics company, who's providing a service to their clients in the economy moving goods, if that's too expensive, everything slows down, you can't get those deals to work. But as the cost of capital comes down, which it has been over the past year, and it still remains, I would say, quite high on a relative basis, but certainly, any reduction already assists. Some of that starts playing out in the P&L immediately. So distribution growth is driven to some extent, because most of the REITs use leverage on their balance sheet. And if that comes in a little bit cheaper, then that already drops down to the bottom line. Just given the fact that many of us use hedges to protect against interest rate risk, it takes time. So these things, it's a long play. And I think that investors that got in last year were very well rewarded. Certainly from my perspective, there's still a bit of runway there, in that I do believe that interest rates will come down. Fundamentally, things are improving in retail, office, and industrial continuously, and even in some of the other sectors. And that, you know, if you're investing for the long term, which a real estate is a long-term investment, you know, then you should see it be an important component of any investment portfolio, and should anchor, you know, a good income yield from that component as part of your total return. So, you know, we reasonably optimistic as the SA REIT members, and certainly from a growth point perspective, you know, we feel a little bit more confident in the South African context at this stage.
What would be ideal growth for you this year? I know Growthpoint is in a close period at the moment, and it's not purely a Growthpoint interview, but your expectation, like 2025 was a knockout year. Can we expect double-digit growth at least this year from a sector perspective?
Yeah, I think that is, so look, on a total return basis, you can potentially get double-digit growth. I think from a distribution growth perspective, I think I'll take it away from a growth point level, but maybe sort of high level. You know, I think some of the retail-specific stocks have front run some of the other sectors. So, and we're like a growth point where you dive fully diversified, and I think what also blurs things with the larger companies is increasingly, you know, there's a quite a large foreign component into their distributions, which, you know, there's a lot of moving parts there. So, and not just the sector performance, the country performance, the interest rate performance in those markets are still all relevant. And let's not forget the currency, right? So with a rand strengthening, that also brings some interesting dynamics. So it doesn't necessarily help if you're reporting in rands and the rand is strengthened and you're getting foreign currency, you know, so that part, so there are quite a few moving parts. But I would suggest that you know, this year distribution growth for most of the companies should be improved, and it doesn't mean that, you know, we in a boom market by any means. You know, as I said, certainly if just bringing it back to South Africa, I think interest rates remain high on a relative basis, and it is having an impact, you know, on the economy. So I would say middle class South Africa that has home loans and debt and has seen, you know, increases in fuel prices over the past few years and seen inflation in some of the products they acquire, they remain under a bit of pressure. But what has helped is certainly government wages have been significantly above inflation, and generally, you know, that does still play out in the market. So I do think that the property sector, and just keeping it with a South African context, you know, we're seeing quite improved market. Some jurisdictions in South Africa are actually performing pretty strongly. So the coastal areas, you know, as we've mentioned in some of our results earlier, those markets are strong. Cape Town as a city continues to grow well. In fact, all three, you know, Johannesburg, Pretoria, and Durban, you know, the big metros continue to grow, right, as cities in terms of size and scale. But, you know, from a performance perspective, it certainly does look like the Cape Town market is outperforming the rest. You know, we clearly got a little bit of a bias to the Western Cape. We have a large stake in the V&A, and we also have a big portfolio there, you know. So what we have seen is it certain that those markets are strong, and there's quite a few initiatives in that market which should be quite interesting, driving tourism. I think recently AXA published just the statistics on the amount of people coming through the Cape Town airport, you know, over 11 million people, of which I think over 3.5 million or something was foreign tourism. Now, you know, for us as a country, I believe a key strategic driver should be a focus on tourism, making it easier for tourists to come to South Africa. We have to ensure that we can bring them here safely, that they are safe when they are here, and that it's easier for them to come here. So, you know, if you think about visas, I mean, several years ago, the Home Affairs of the day and Minister of the day brought in regulations that killed the Asian tourism overnight. I mean, they cost the country absolute billions. So, you know, we should be working collectively as a country to switch that on. You know, tourism is a massive driver of employment as well. And you don't need people that are highly, highly qualified to be able to, you know, work in the tourism industry. And as a country, you know, we are friendly people. It's a great place to come to. I mean, I was privileged in being able to drive through our country in the December holidays. And what we have to offer is unprecedented. You know, in what is a relatively small country, you can see an amazing amount of things. And we should be encouraging that and ensuring that it's easier. And that will drive a lot of very positive things for the country commercially and otherwise from an employment perspective.
Estienne, thanks for that. It's quite a broad outline on different things, particularly from a South African perspective. But since you mentioned the Western Cape and the waterfront, two questions in one here. I know you can't talk results, but there's a lot of development happening in the V&A waterfront. But Growthpoint is not just investing in the Western Cape. I know you have a property tour coming up in KZN soon. You have had some investments there around Lalusha Mall and that sort of thing. But in Johannesburg, you've got a major development coming up in Sandton, and that's where your head office is. You know, it'll be the first crane in Central Sandton in quite a while. Do you want to share some highlights on clearly Growthpoint is investing a little bit more going forward? Obviously, with the V&A, it's jointly owned with the PIC / government employees pension fund.
Yeah, so look, I mean, when we look at our asset allocation, and, you know, you mentioned a whole bunch of sort of things that we've been looking at. Now, clearly, the V&A is an asset that is a national jewel. It has a huge component that is driven by the tourism sector. And just from the statistics earlier mentioned, you can hear, you know, how the tourism has improved in that area. I mean, tourism numbers were up over 15%, where in the rest of the country, in some areas, it's actually down. So it has been, from that perspective, it has given us the opportunity to be able to continue to develop out. Further, we have also made application successfully for additional rights, and you know, it's going through further approvals in terms of EIAs, but ultimately to expand the V&A towards the Granger Bayside. So we've got the development rights secured now, and the next step will get to, you know, to finalize the environmental aspect and approvals there. So that will ensure that we can grow the V&A, and that will be a massive asset, not just to Cape Town, but also to South Africa. When we look at our capital allocation, you know, there's growth in other nodes, as well as I mentioned, you know, several of our cities are continuing to grow. And we have basically invested in all, there's really five sectors that we play in today, which is office, retail, industrial, healthcare, and student accommodation. And in all three of those sectors, you know, specifically student accommodation in the one fund, there's a huge demand. There's a shortage at several of our universities of affordable, well-managed, and purpose-built student accommodation. So that is what we've been providing, and that's been nationally. So Gauteng, as well as the Western Cape, and we're busy with one massive development down at the gate of Natal University. So, you know, those developments continue, and that is one of the maybe things that undervalued for the company is our development capacity. So to absolutely be able to create new assets for clients and for the services that we provide. When looking at Gauteng, you know, one of the reasons probably why, you know, less capital has been allocated by the REIT sector to the Gauteng area is because, you know, it speaks to economic growth and many of the sort of issues around some of the large metros here, as well as sort of provincial policies, etc., has unfortunately deteriorated economic growth in this market. In saying that, you know, we are launching in our development business together with a partner a residential development in Sandton, in the Sandton Summit precinct, which is a precinct that we've created, which includes the Discovery property and some of the properties where Bidvest are in, all the way down to Sasol and into Inanda Greens. And this precinct is a sort of a node in Sandton, and we've we've launched a residential development, mixed use. So this development will actually commence in this year. And it's been very well received by the market. We've had very, very good pre-sales. So the first tower is over 75% sold. And those sales are what we call greenlined. In other words, they're backed by finance and deposits and agreements. So, you know, the first tower of just short of 300 units will commence in this year. So quite exciting for Sandton. I mean, we're reasonably confident. The second tower, you know, we've got sales of close to 50% already. So as we go into the ground, I'm sure that we'll be able to sell out, you know, the second tower as well and develop the whole scheme, which is over close to 500 units. So exciting for Sandton, exciting for that precinct. We further in Gauteng, we've also been quite active in expanding our industrial portfolio and maintaining, you know, our office portfolio in improving, you know, the product that we have in the market. So continually been investing over this period, actively, you know, quite active on the asset management side. So rotating, you know, out of older, poorer quality assets and let's say maybe older, less desirable nodes to nodes which are more attractive. So there's been quite a metamorphosis in the portfolio. But, you know, if you look at even the results from some of our competitors, the other REITs in the market, you know, I think across the board, you're seeing that retail and logistics have really performed pretty strongly. And as the economy improves, you'll see, you know, there should be reasonably good upside in the office market. So at the moment, there still remains reasonable, you know, sort of entrenched vacancies. And I think looking at those vacancies, it's always the devil's in the detail, you know. So some of those vacancies are buildings that probably aren't suited to the market anymore. And those buildings probably will have to be refurbished before they can be let anyway. But, you know, if you've got a good quality product, I mean, we've seen good letting in our sort of P and A, top A grade assets.
Thanks for that, Estienne. Turning to leadership now, you are about to become a group CEO of Growthpoint Properties. Obviously, you've been Growthpoint Properties South Africa CEO for a number of years. You and Norbert have been working at Growthpoint for a long time. In fact, were part of, you know, the initial setup when Investec were involved and that sort of thing. Was it an automatic choice? I suppose it's a question for the board, but did you expect to become group CEO? You know, a lot of analysts said it was the right thing to do. Was there competition for the job? How do you feel about coming into the group CEO role from July?
Yeah, I'm not talking out of home too much, but, you know, obviously Growthpoint is one of the few what I would call organizations in the real estate space. So, you know, it's a company where we obviously manage internally all our assets. So we've got close to 640 odd people in the business. There are quite formalized succession planning, personal development programs for many of our staff, and that includes myself, you know. So is a process, and yes, I've been involved with the company since 2002 when we were still at Investec, and we did the buy-in transaction in 2007. So that's when we sort of came out of the Investec fold and been involved with the company. So it has been a bit of a life project from a you know, personal perspective. And I'm very grateful and privileged to be given the opportunity and really, you know, the board, for them to have confidence in me to be able to take the company forward into the next phase. The reality is time waits for nobody, and you know, everybody is replaceable. And the process that was followed in terms of appointing the new CEO was a very formalized process. So yes, clearly it's one of our largest companies in the country, and we take the governance in the business very, very seriously. So a very rigorous process was undertaken. And you know, at the same time, you know, we also had to replace the CFO, and the board felt, you know, it would be good to introduce so any of our senior roles it's not just internal candidates that apply, but external candidates are given the opportunity, and the board really focus on selecting the best available candidate at the time, whether that's internal or external. So, you know, we've appointed Jose Snyders, who was the CEO at Liberty 2 Degrees, as the CFO. He clocked in here 2 weeks ago, so he's sitting next to me, and so we're actually very excited about the journey going forward. We're very blessed to have a very deep and solid bench in terms of individuals in the business, and you know, many of the executives at GrowthPoint have been very involved in the company over many years. But yeah, we've got a blend of youth and experience, not to use a rugby term, but ultimately, you know, there's solid succession plans within the business. And, I've been involved with the business quite for a couple of years, you know, I'm still a bit of a lightie at heart. So hopefully, we'll be able to ensure a lot of energy going forward. And we've got an incredibly enthusiastic team and a very, very experienced board to lead the company going forward.
Talking about leadership, just to kind of conclude a little bit, you are the chairperson of the SA RIT Association. You have a SA RIT conference coming up. September last year, were involved with the Global RIT Alliance. Do you want to share some insights on South Africa's, the RIT Association, where you see things going from, strategy and, leadership? Because you did play a role, even before the association was launched, you were a key player in getting RIT legislation to South Africa. What is the Global Alliance about, STM, if you don't mind sharing?
Yes, it's a bit of context there and just a bit of history as well. So, the original sort of structure for property companies on the JSE was property loan stocks or property trusts. And, this is going back to the early 2000s, right? And in the US, REITs had been very, very successful and been able to attract capital. And it was a very good structure for those companies. And ultimately, we believed as a sector that, you need to be globally competitive to attract capital. So quite early in the 2000s, we commenced discussions with National Treasury around implementing REIT status in South Africa. Those discussions did take a while, but ultimately in 2013, we managed to get that legislation in place. And since then, it really has delivered in terms of, making the REIT sector a more simple capital structure, something that is globally comparable. And we've always leveraged off our relationships with other REIT jurisdictions in the world. Clearly, the US makes up probably about 60 to 65% of the world's REITs today. But the reality is that, we have quite good relations with Europe. The European Public Real Estate Association plays a big role, and NAREIT, which is the National Association of REITs, plays a big role in giving the lead in a way in the trends within REITs. Now, when we looked at the global REITs, there's no consistency. And ultimately, I've certainly been lobbying with the powers at some of these larger REIT organizations. And, you can add to that today APRIA, which is Asia Pacific region. And, what we would like to sort of drive from a global REIT perspective is a little bit more consistency in structure, in legislation, in tax treatment, and making it easier for cross-border trade as well. So if companies invest from South Africa into Europe or America or South Africa, and each country has got its own legislation, it brings quite a high level of complexity. So what we are trying to do is if you have this, and it really is an alliance, so it's not a formal body per se, but there's an alliance where these kind of discussions can, sort of be driven and be had going forward. So hopefully what that will translate into is, you know, making South Africa a key investment destination that has attractive dispensation and is best practice from a worldwide perspective, and that increasingly across the globe we'll see similar REIT legislation being rolled out. So, you know, I think at the time we were in 2013, I don't know, maybe 9th or 10th REIT jurisdiction globally, which is, you know, for a small country was something to note. And to be honest, you know, I always believed that our legislation was one of the best in the world. You know, it really combined the best of having an appropriate regulatory framework together with a very attractive tax dispensation and good governance principles that were rolled out. So, you know, I think those all made South Africa from that perspective quite investable. And we have seen, you know, quite good traction with foreign investment into REITs. I mean, Growthpoint goes anywhere between 20 to 30% foreign investors in the stock at any one time.
Estian, we could talk for another half hour. We'll have to leave it there. I appreciate your time. We didn't get to speak about Growthpoint in Australia and other issues in South Africa. We didn't delve into the sticky issues about municipal service delivery and that sort of thing. But I really appreciate your time on the podcast. That was Estian de Klerk, the CEO of Growthpoint Properties South Africa and the incoming Group CEO of Growthpoint Properties.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.